Okay, I'm excited. I'm not excited to be holding a mic. I hate holding the mic. I really wanted to use the wireless, but apparently it's broken. And I like looking like Garth Brooks. Maybe I'll preach with a country twang. So for those of you that like titles, and you're going to laugh if you know me, my sermon title is Joyful, Joyful. And the reason I say you're going to laugh is because I hate Christmas music. So I thought it was funny. I got a download from God, and he said, I want you to preach, and I came to Mike and Tim, and I said, hey, this is what's going on, and I really want to share, and they said, sure. But this last week has been not joyful. It's good. It's been very trying. It's been a really tough week for me. So I thought, how can I preach on joy when I'm being hammered? So I was wrestling. I really wrestled with even coming up here. I said, God, if you want me to preach, I'm going to throw this fleece out, because I know you gave me a word, but that word could be done another time. I even tried to switch with Maddie. Tried to get him to preach this week, but he wouldn't bite. So anyways, I was doing my devotional and through the Battle for Purity, the sword drills. And the last verse in the week that we were in was the key verse God showed me. Psalm 51:12 is, restore unto me the joy of your salvation and uphold a willing spirit within me. So I was like, oh, okay. Okay, I'm hearing that, but I'm going to throw the fleece out one more time. So I threw the fleece out, and I waited, and I just kept praying, and I kept reading and studying. And I get a phone call from BJ. I can't remember if it was Saturday or Sunday, and, you know, the normal talk. He asks how things are going, what's up, and he says, I heard you're supposed to be preaching, or maybe I told him, I can't remember, but what are you preaching on? And I said, I want to preach on joy. And he's like, shut the front door. He freaks out. Seriously, he was freaking out on the phone. He's like, I was just going to tell you, you got to preach on joy, and you got to preach on restoring to me. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. And he's, like, wigging out on the phone. He's like, I got goosebumps. He's freaking out. And it was fun. So I'm like, okay, I get it. I'll preach. So Mike says, do you want to preach? I'm like, yeah, I do. So anyway, I really love, hang on. I'm going to leave the lid off. I really love where God has been bringing us as a body lately. Mike has been sharing about the vision and pouring out how God wants us to live our lives in the kingdom and in this church and in our community. A couple of weeks ago, Tim shared on a season of testing. He asked the question, are we bringing God into the picture? Mostly he talked about the faithfulness of God through trials, but he touched on what I want to share today, and that's joy. And I want to start by reading a couple of scriptures to lay some groundwork. One is from Tim's message as well. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. That's James 1:2. Luke 2:10 says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18 says, rejoice always, feel great joy. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. How many of you know all means all, right? All circumstances. No matter what you're facing, rejoice always. Give thanks in all situations. Does this sound like a life we're living? This week, I didn't. I tried, but I was able to a little, but it was tough. Do we find ourselves giving thanks in all things, or do we allow our circumstances or the challenges we're facing to rule our emotions? In Acts 16, Paul and Silas are in Macedonia. They're witnessing Christ. They're sharing. There's amazing things happening. But something happens to Paul and Silas, and they get thrown into jail. But the truth is, they don't get just thrown into jail. These guys get stripped down and severely beaten. Like, crazy. It was incredible. So these guys, if you think about it, I had a rough week, and I'm complaining about my rough week. These guys got stripped down and severely beaten. And where do we find them? Praising God in jail. They were giving glory to God. They were praying. They were worshiping and giving glory to God. There was a great earthquake, and all these things happened. And the jailer's freaking out. And he's, we're in here. It's okay. You know, I don't know about you guys, but truthfully, that would be pretty hard for me to do. To have an attitude of joy, to be thankful for where God has brought me. Tom, one of my best friends, says to me on Friday, no offense, I'm not going to be at church, which I knew, but what are you preaching? And I had to laugh. I'm like, oh man, like he knows the situation I'm in. He knows some of the things that are going on in my life, and I said, I'm preaching about joy. And I was able to share with him a little bit, but it was just funny, you know? So too often we fix our eyes on what's seen rather than what's unseen. Too often we're blinded by, or we focus on our circumstances, and we forget what God is speaking. We don't listen to what God is speaking. In Philippians 4, verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul said, rejoice always in all circumstances. And sure enough, we found him doing exactly that. Like I said, he was stripped, he was beaten, and he was still giving glory to God. He was still joyful for that situation. This is the relationship God desires for all of us. The bridegroom desires to lavish his love upon you. He wants our joy to be complete. Often we think the situation we're in or the circumstance we're in merits our actions or our behaviors. But God wants us to remember his joy. Even in our sin, it will rob us of joy. It wants to separate us from God. It wants to steal that joy. Even though we sin, God wants us to repent and to turn from our sinfulness and to return to him. When we are in him, that's where he wants us to be. He desires intimacy with us so he can, so we can, sorry, experience his joy and his love. I really love this story. It's 2 Samuel 11, and it's about David. And we all know David. He's a man who was after God's heart. But he was in... David was a guy who, no matter the situation, he was at the front. He was at the forefront of everything that God wanted for him, except this time. And he paid for it dearly. But he fell into a great sin. He sees Bathsheba bathing on the roof, and he desires her greatly. And he tries to find out who she is, and he brings her, and he sleeps with her. And she ends up getting pregnant. And to cover his tracks, he calls Uriah, her husband, home. But Uriah won't even enter the house. He sleeps on the front porch. And he knows that if Uriah doesn't go in, he's going to have to face the truth that he will have to admit that it's his kid. So even though Uriah won't go in, David plots yet further and says, okay, I'm going to send message to Joab, and I'm going to have Uriah killed. I'm going to tell them to put him at the front of the battle, and we're going to pull back, and he'll get killed. There's no way he can't. So this happens, and Joab gets news, and they send Uriah to the front, and everybody pulls back, and he gets murdered. So David thinks he's gotten away with it, but then we jump into Psalm 51, and God sends... this is still in Samuel. God sends Nathan, the prophet, to rebuke David. And then we get Psalms 51. And this is a very beautiful psalm with one of my key verses. The father's heart gets revealed to David, and he sees his sin, and he repents. And he cries out, have mercy on me, O God. He sees the sin in his life, and he cries out, have mercy on me, O God. When the Spirit of God reveals himself on us, what more can we do but cry that out? How can that not be our heart's cry? David repents of his sin. He pours out his heart. He asks God, create in me a clean heart, Father. Renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me with a willing spirit. He's crying out. This is his heart's cry. This is where he needs to see his relationship. He sees that it has to be here. It has to be from a point of joy and a point of love expressed by the Father. And he wants it to shape his life. First Peter says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes through, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Let me say that again. Rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. This is what God wants for our lives. Do we believe that, or do we just hear it and let it wash off? Do we read this in the scriptures and not apply it to our lives? Or is it ingrained in who we are? When the Spirit of God comes and reveals to us his joy, it becomes a part of who you are. So even though I've had this crazy week and it's been very heavy, I'm still choosing to focus on his joy. I still grab a hold of that and let it carry me through. I may not be bouncing off the walls, happy, happy, joy, joy, but I'm telling you right now that this joy that I feel inside, it carries me through. Just knowing about it isn't good enough. In Revelations 2, Jesus sends a message to the Ephesus church, the church in Ephesians. He starts it off with some pretty encouraging stuff, but in verse 4, he lays something down pretty heavy. He says, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned your first love. You have abandoned your first love. The Ephesians were leaving their first love, and how many of us have been in situations where we've done that? These guys allowed their circumstances, their surroundings, to influence them. And I don't know if you guys, how many of you read through Ephesians, but these guys were on fire for God. These guys were doing incredible things. They were, people were getting saved. They were casting out demons. They were teaching. They were able to rebuke incorrect teaching because they knew the word of God. And yet they began to waver. They began to go through the motions, if you will. And how many of us can relate to that? How many of us, like Caleb preached last week, come to church out of obligation or responsibility? Have we forgotten our first love? In Acts 19 in Ephesus, I already said that, sorry. Yeah, Jesus reminds them, remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first work. So even though they've forgotten their first love, Jesus is telling them to remember from where you have fallen. He's calling them back. It's not like you've fallen and you can't get up, because you can get up. The King of Kings is helping you up. He wants you to remember from where you have fallen. For those of you that love practical application, the note takers, I have 3 points from Revelation 2. Tim's ready. Okay, first, there are 3 R's for returning to your first love and walking in his joy. The first is, you need to remember. This verse can be translated, keep on remembering. What should you remember, you might ask? Well, obviously, we should remember our first love. We should remember where you were when Christ found you. We should remember how you were separated, and that we were on our way to certain judgment. But he graciously and lovingly reached out and forgave you. all of us were separated from God and facing that judgment. The very thing Christ did for you is the same thing he did for me, for any person who believes and receives. Psalms describes it this way in Psalm 40, verse 2 and 3. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock. He established my steps. He put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Yeah, amen. Let me tell you a story. I'm going to steal another one of Tim's lines from Friday. A couple of decades ago, and I can say that now too, we were at church, and this beautiful girl walks in to the back of the service, sorry, the back sanctuary, and Matt's going to love this part. I was wearing a big green snowboarding jacket. I was super proud of that jacket. How many of you guys remember that? Anyway, I was wearing this big green jacket, and I hate to admit it, but red jeans. It kind of looked like a Christmas tree. Bringing it back. I should have wore it today is what I should have done. I don't think it would fit, though. But anyway, this girl walks in, and right away my heart leapt. She was beautiful. She is beautiful. And I was very interested in her, but she wasn't interested in me. At least she says she was. Or she says she was, but she wasn't. Anyway, years later, she's mine, and I've married her. But I pursued that relationship. You know, I'm really excited that we became best friends, and until we were 19, that's all it really was. We pursued a friendship, and we pursued God together. All of us grew together. So rather than being a stupid teenager, which I definitely did, with her, I didn't do that, and I'm happy to say that she today is my wife. But I pursued that relationship. I wanted that relationship. I'd buy her flowers. I would take her for dinner. I would phone her. There was a point where I even left Terrace, and I was living in Vancouver, and she was still here. And if I kept the cell phone bills, you would be in shock, but they were upwards of $600 a month. They didn't have Wi-Fi calling back then. But anyway, my point is I pursued that relationship. And this is what God wants for us. This is how God wants us to treat him. He wants us to pursue him with everything we are. He is our bridegroom. We are his bride. He wants us to remember the passion that we felt in the beginning. He wants us to remember how excited we were to the point where we could have stood on the box in the middle of the city and tell everybody about how great God is and the filth he saved you out of. A time where you would phone your bro just to make him sing a worship song with you. And I did that too. Where you would long for time with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Is that the cry of your heart? Is that what you desire? Is the intimacy with Christ what you desire? He is the one who gives us a hope and an inexpressible joy. When was the last time you pursued the bridegroom like that? With that type of passion? Was it a month ago? A year ago? 10? A week? Who knows? You do. Psalm 63 is an amazing passage of scripture for longing after God, and I'm just going to fire off a couple of them. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. Flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Because your love is better than life, my lips will praise you. On my bed, I remember you, and I think of you through the watches of the night. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Psalm 42:2 says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Is that the cry of our hearts? How many of us want that? Please, you guys, you have to remember that Jesus wants this for your life. This is what he's calling us to. He longs for intimacy with you. He wants to pour out his love, his joy, his peace. He longs for us to know him and to be known by him. I think it was a while back, but Mark, you preached on the word know. And was it you shared that the Hebrew word for know is yada. And it means exactly what we're talking about. It means to be completely known and to know completely. That's what God wants for us. He wants to know us completely and for us to know him completely. He already does know us completely. But if we pursue him and if we remain in him, if we will remember our first love, he will restore us to a place of inexpressible joy. The second R is repent. And I love that Leilani brought this up today. Repentance is turning from our sins and returning back to what God has called for us. God has called us to obedience, to turn from our wicked ways and to follow him. And we saw David do exactly this in Psalm 51. He repented and he returned to God and he cried out for God. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who were called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land." And pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. God wants us to repent of our sins so that we may know him and be joyful once again. He doesn't want us to continue living in separation from him. The third R is the easy one. It's remain. So we're to remember, we're to repent, and we're to remain. John 15:7-8 says, "If you abide," or the NIV says remain, "if you abide or you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." I really love how Piper breaks this down. For you thinkers, it's good. So here, I'll try and make sure I say it really clearly. This verse has two halves. The first, a condition. The second, a result. The condition is the if clause. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. The second, the result, the then clause. Then ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So if you abide in me and my word abides in you, then ask whatever you wish and it will be done. This next part is just as important. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. When we remain in God and we pursue him as our first love, we bear much fruit. How many of you can list the fruits of the Spirit? Go ahead. Anybody, fire them out. Not you, cheater. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. There's nine, right? I think I heard most of them. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Mike cheated. He knows that. He's supposed to. But so are we. Anyways. Guys, these aren't suggestions. They're aspects of the mind of God. It's what he wants us to put on. He wants us to walk in love. He wants us to walk in joy. He wants us to walk in his peace. What is our first love? Why am I talking about returning to our first love in a message about joy? Because it's only in Christ that we can experience this incredible, inexpressible joy. That's the only way. We might know, like I said earlier, where did I? No, I didn't. It's right here. Our happiness is just a byproduct or a derivative or a result of his joy. It's when we're in his joy that we can experience real happiness. His great pleasure, he wants to lavish on us so we can experience his joy, his love. As the bride of Christ, he longs for you to be intimate with him so you can experience those things. Are you asking God to restore the joy of your salvation? To make him your treasure? Ask yourself, what is the best way for me to flourish in my relationship with Christ? I'll give you a hint. We need to fill our lives with the things that stir the affections of Jesus. We need to spend time with our King. We have to dive into his word. We have to allow it to change our lives. The Bible is intended to draw us back to Jesus, and Jesus wants to give us his joy. It always points us to Jesus, and it's always about him. He came to restore joy. He is the source of all our joy. We have to come to a place where we decide if we're going to keep trying to live a Christian life, or out of our own efforts. Because if we're depending on our own strength to follow Christ, we're going to miss the mark every time. It's not until we come to the end of ourselves, and this week has been very much that for me, coming to the end of myself, that we realize it's about him the whole time. It's Jesus promises us that the Spirit of God will come in power. And Paul points it out in Galatians 3:3 that it's foolish for us to even try to live our Christian lives in our own power. When we learn to follow Jesus, we find that obedience comes from the inside out. We were in the prayer room this morning, and somebody even prayed about that, beauty coming from the inside out and the joy coming from the inside out. And I didn't tell anybody, except for maybe Mike, what I was preaching. When we're wandering through this in our own strength and our own understanding, letting our circumstances and our situations rule our thinking, we're robbing ourselves from a relationship filled with joy and love. I'd like to end today with a video, but first I want you to know this. My prayer is that we would be open to his Spirit, that our souls would awaken to the kind of relationship that Christ desires for us, that we would be able to experience the kind of joy in our lives that Christ is calling us to, one that is inexpressible and complete in him, that he would return that we would return to our first love, and that we would remain there.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.